This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back here to talk about MTV and Netflix's answer to MTV's The Real World. It's 20-somethings colon Austin talking about the premiere of a brand new Netflix reality series with a guy who is like a 20-something. Here is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm feeling good. What was that slip you just made?
MTVs. Yeah, it's Netflix is borrowing a tried and true story format of the eight strangers. See, the real world were seven strangers. This is eight strangers picked to live in a house,
Or picked to live in like a villa
to live in two different houses.
Right, in like a duplex situation that kind of overlooks the other one with a courtyard that they share. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the true story. This is not MTV at all. This is not The Real World for anybody tuning in for The Real World.
You're in the wrong place.
Yeah, but see, Rob, the name of this show just keeps changing because like 3 days ago, I read an article that said like meet the cast of Netflix's Roaring Twenties, Austin.
Roaring Twenties.
Yes, Google it. I'm telling you, it's a thing. Like I was like, how? What is the name of this show? Just call it The Real World Austin and just move on.
Yeah. Well, what's better, 20-somethings, which is all one word, 20-somethings colon Austin, or Roaring Twenties?
Not gonna lie, both stupid names. Like both of them suck because no one in their 20s says 20-somethings. No one does that. And Roaring Twenties does not sound like what you're about to sit through. Like, it does not sound like what you're about to watch.
There's no, like, flappers around or anything like that.
Right. No finger wagging in Charleston's. I don't know what they do in the 20s.
Gatsby party. Right.
Oh, God. Horrible-ass movie and horrible book.
Chappelle, that I'm looking at a poster for Netflix's 20-somethings Austin, and I see that in the poster, they're sitting on a big orange couch, which reminds us of another podcast that we got to do this weekend on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. You and Sarah Ferguson joined us to talk about SNCC shows are trash on Renap.
Yes, and that was a great time. I was in my bag. Like the 90s shows were when I was in my prime as far as TV watching. I was a wee lad, but I was watching things I had no business talking about or, you know, whatever. And so to sit there and kind of relive those moments with Sarah and Akiva and you know, teach you some things about SNCC, it was a good time. So I loved it. Thank you for having me on for that.
Okay, check that out for even more Chappelle this weekend and 20-somethings Austin. And I have to say, just big picture, I enjoyed this. I've watched one episode. I would watch more. It looks like six are up on Netflix and more to come next week, I guess.
Yeah, but how many episodes are they going to have? Because I thought, oh, it's six episodes. I could probably binge the whole season.
Yeah.
But when I clicked on Netflix, it said, episodes weekly. I was like, yeah. Well, am I supposed to wait a week to watch the next one, or does it not have this same effect, or are they releasing them weekly? Like, are they dropping another six next week? How does this work?
I don't know how it works, but I think that, I don't know if they lived in the house for 3 weeks and we basically saw like 6 hours on the first episode because not that much happened.
Yeah, nothing happened on the first episode. I mean, not unlike the real world proper. I think we should probably stop comparing them to the real world, or I'm going to start calling it that. But like, yeah, this was kind of just like the introduction. And so we did one episode, and we're going to let all the listeners who, you know, are interested in this, check it out on their own. We don't want to spoil it too much because these episodes are an hour long. So it's actually a pretty decent watch once you get into it.
Yeah.
But not a lot to talk about. I guess we just get to meet our 20 somethings as they, you know, embark on this journey into, I don't know, adulthood and living in Austin. I guess that's what this is.
Yeah. I also just want to mention, last week we talked about Selling Sunset. We had a lot of fun talking about the first three episodes of the new season of Selling Sunset. Asia Welch and Genevieve Guadalupe joined us. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes or want to go back and check out last week's Selling Sunset, go to robiswebsite.com/Netflix feed.
Yeah. And we had great reviews from that. I mean, people love Selling Sunset more than they love us. So I think that we found the right model here. We go find stuff that people are going to like regardless. Mm-hmm. Bake Off, Selling Sunset. Like, yep. We're hitting all the high points in the Netflix world. So I think this format is working. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, I feel like that we seem like that. When we first started doing the show, I didn't think that we'd be doing so much Netflix reality. But here we are.
Yeah, and you know what? Reality is kind of
Tiger
my thing.
King,
and
I think,
yeah. Well, now let's talk about Tiger King. I know we got a show to talk about, but Rob, can we ignore the big ass tiger in the room of Doc Antle and you know, Bogdavan? Like,
yeah,
he's right there.
I didn't see that much about it. Did you watch those?
It is in the, like, it's like number 7 and on the Netflix rankings.
What they do?
They are doing like a little series on Bogdavan Antle, the one who Bryce complained about not being in Netflix. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, on the second reboot of the Tiger King or whatever, the second season. So they released, I think, 3 episodes, and those 3 episodes are wildly popular because it definitely made the top, you know, top 7 of Netflix.
Okay. So what do we do? Yeah. Are we going to look at that?
I mean, I don't know if we want to waste a week on it. We still have holiday movies to talk about. We have
bonus coverage. What are we doing?
If we can get Bryce, I don't think it should be off the table. What do you think?
Okay. I mean, if we can get him, that we got to check it out.
Are the people clamoring for this?
You know, let them clamor. If they clamor, we'll do it. I'm not just going to do it and say, I hope they're clamoring.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If the listeners are clamoring for this, let us know and we will talk about it. We'll try and drag Bryce on. We might have to pay him because, like, I don't know. Bryce seemed like the second season of Tiger King, it really, really, really got his, like, his juices going again.
Yeah, he loved it.
I think he'd be excited. Yeah,
we were
lukewarm.
He was, like, all in. Like, these are his friends that he got to spend time with again.
Definitely his friend, so we'll have to holler at him and see if he's down. We might need to do some bonus coverage, but I mean, that's a conversation probably for off the podcast.
Okay. 20 somethings Austin. Chappelle, have you spent a lot of time in Austin?
Not a lot of time.
Austin was where the only time we've ever met.
Yes. For the people who are unfamiliar, I went to Rob Has a Podcast live event to watch Survivor, mm-hmm. and I was like a fish out of water. I was in Austin, mm-hmm. so I was like, oh, I'm from here. So not from Austin, but it's not far from where I live. So I went and I got to enjoy watching all the Survivors. And I think I named the hashtag for that episode too, because I'm Chappelle and I can't shut the hell up.
I ran into Rob. Do you remember?
I think it was VHS tape. Because Colby had said, like, you used to just turn in the VHS tape.
Yeah, and so I said, hey, what's the hashtag? And you were just like, VHS tape!
Have you met me? Of course I did that.
Can anybody go back to that episode and find the audio and see if you could hear Chappelle blurting
screaming
out
from the crowd? Yeah. Anyway, I think that's what it was, but I was so busy laughing at Kobe saying VHS tape that I had to yell that out. And so I did make my mark, but I ran into you at the, like, at the food area, right? Like, I think I paid for VIP access because I really wanted to have the RHAP experience. And Rob was about to eat, lobster? Was it?
I think it was shrimp, like, I believe.
No, it was something else, because I was like, Rob, this is Central Texas, don't eat that. And it wasn't shrimp. I think it was scallops or something. Mm-hmm. I was just like, no, there's no ocean by us right now. Just don't do that.
You saved my life. So
I'm pretty sure
that's
I did.
That's why I have a life debt to Chappelle.
That's the only reason that I made it through, like, the audition process for this. I was like, I put on my application, like, Rob, remember that time I saved your life in Austin? He's like, oh, yeah, definitely do. So I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Okay. And so other than that night, have you been to Austin much?
Yeah. I mean, I spent some time with Jacob Jones and our last guest, Asia, in Austin a couple weeks ago. It was a couple months ago at this point. But regardless, I dip off to Austin every time I want a vacation from my real world. You know, it's just like, it's right up the street. It's very different than what the rest of Texas is like in a lot of ways. And so it's a nice quick getaway for me. I mean, familiar.
Chappelle, Austin has had such a glow up in the last couple of years.
Oh, really? How so?
I mean, that's like the, like, probably like the Austin is to the 2020s as Seattle was to the 1990s.
100%. I agree with that 100%. Whenever people try to ask me about Austin, I say, have you ever been to Seattle? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, just imagine what Seattle is in your head. That's what Austin is.
Well, what
just
were the
Texas
cool cities? What did we miss? Like, what was the cool city of the aughts?
Of the
2000s? San Francisco? Yeah.
No, that was probably the 90s. The 2010s? Don't you think? Wasn't that the big move? So I think it might have been the 90s, might have been the San Francisco. And then, like, the early 2000s was Seattle. And, you know, because, like, people were like, oh, they're legalizing things out there. You know,
yeah, but like, what about, like, Nirvana and stuff like that? That happened, like, in the early
90s. Oh, yeah. That's true. I think it's probably been a mixture of those two for the most part. And then, like, now Austin has slipped into that realm. And I'm not quite
sure
why.
Were there any other cities in the middle?
I can't think of any place that I wanted to go, like, in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I like to travel. And I'm telling you, there's not a place.
Let us know if we missed any cool cities.
Yeah. That's where we'll do the live show for the Nothing But Netflix podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Then we watch the show on Netflix and we talk about it.
Yeah. We'll go to this house in Austin that they're living in, and we'll just record there.
Austin, the logical site for 20-somethings.
Sure. So in my head, I think what you do is when you want a show like this, I don't think Austin naturally has that type of allure that you kind of get from the vibe that these kids are giving you. I said vibe because you're going to say it a billion times on watching this show. But I think what you do is you just show a bunch of teens the nightlife in Austin, or a bunch of 20 somethings, if you will, the nightlife in Austin, and say, don't you think it'd be cool to go here? And everyone's yes, because if you're, like, vibrant and outgoing and like to be around a lot of people and, like, you know, stuff that's constantly changing and all the happenings, Austin is a really good place for that in a vacuum. You know, like it, you can make a killer montage off of the Austin nightlife and make it sound really appealing. Personally, I would never live in Austin, but I get it for these 20 somethings.
Why would you never live there?
You know, for me, it's a bit contrived. It feels like Austin's trying a bit too hard.
To be,
like,
hip.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be hip regardless of, like, what you, like, you can try not to be hip in Austin, but they're going to make you, like,
what about
you're
Portland? Did Portland have, like, a run in between Seattle and Austin?
Portland probably had, like, 6 or 7 weeks of just, like, prominence. I don't think it ever gotten out of that little bubble. But yeah, I think there are definitely places where avocado toast is running rampant. And has taken the world by storm. And Austin is that place. Austin is one of those places.
Okay. So, Chappelle, the real world came into existence, what, 1991 or so? We talked about it on the RHAP Rewind with LaTanya over the summer. had a good run, but they stopped making the actual Real World on MTV, what, probably like 10 years ago, if not more?
Well, on MTV, yes, but they did have like a Facebook spinoff where they were still doing the Real World, but it was on Facebook primarily. Mm-hmm. I did not watch that, nor did I expect anybody else to, and I'm not shocked that they didn't bring it back, but they did try to keep it going as long as they could. I wonder what it is about that format that the creators of the show decided, we could do this again. We could make this happen, and we can make it appealing to the next generation, because somewhere down the line, I think the Real World lost its novelty.
Yep. Do you feel like that something else had replaced the Real World in the interim? Where was there some other new type of format, or was it like social media came along? And what do I need to follow these seven strangers on TV when there's a million influencers? I could just follow their everyday lives in real time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the things that are appealing about the Real World in its early stages were like, it's a social experiment. They want to see like the differences between people. And then somewhere around Las Vegas, it became like, oh no, this is party hookup time. And so that became very important. But
Spoiler alert, so is 20-somethings Austin.
yeah. We're not too far off there in this version of that kind of, you know, mold. But maybe it was just like, somewhere along the lines, people kind of got tired of it, or maybe the Real World didn't lean into like the changing world enough to where like they're not talking about hookup apps and stuff like that on the Real World. And then maybe the Gen Zers just needed a break from it. Maybe it just seemed too chuggy, some would say. I don't know.
Yeah. That's also interesting, where I feel like that the Real World probably like was celebrated at various points for like being, and maybe this is sort of like pre Real World Las Vegas, like there was like a shift into party hookup time. But as you mentioned, like in a world with so much going on, 20-somethings Austin didn't seem to want to take a pass at the issues affecting this young, diverse group.
Yeah, it feels like they're trying to tell the story of this young, diverse group without making it too heavy, you know, like, because there's a lot going on. And the Gen Zers, to their credit, they are at the helm of a lot of the change that's happening in the world and in the country. They're really involved. And so maybe that's what we're going to get to later on in the series. But the first episode, no, it doesn't look like they care anything about these people's careers, their families, and any social issues. They're just trying to hook up. But I did get the vibe that later on they're going to start to delve into those other more serious topics a little bit more, because you do get hints of them saying, I'm 20 years old. I don't know what to do with my life. And I think that's the premise of the show that separates it from the Real World. The Real World was more like, you could be established. You could be a new adult. You could be, in your career. You could be whatever. They just want to bring different people around and say, okay, are y'all going to fight? Are y'all going to get along? But in this, it's like, these kids are saying, and I say kids, but, you know, these young adults are saying, I've never lived on my own before, so that's why I'm going to Austin. I want to start my life here, or, you know, start my life away from my family. And so that's why I'm moving to Austin. I am having career issues. So they're using Austin as a helm or like an incubator for who they're going to be. And that was never the premise of the Real World. So I'm thinking that's what's going to separate this and set it apart.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chappelle, let's break down the cast of the 20-somethings Austin. We have 8 people. It is going to be 4 men and 4 women. The women, they live in their own house. The men, they live in their own house. But then, as you mentioned, that they have like a courtyard that connects them.
Yeah. And this is new, too. I don't think I've ever seen the real world give people that much space. I mean, it looks like they have their own bedrooms, whereas the real world, it's 2 or 3 people to a room and there's like a curtain separating you from the next room. It's a lot more about actually living in the same space, whereas I think the star of this show is really going to be Austin itself.
Yes.
So it's a little bit different than what we're used to.
So, Chappelle, let's talk about the cast in order of meeting them. And some of the people we have a lot to talk about. Others had more of sort of like purple edits in the first episode.
And speaking of purple, you cannot talk about purple edits without talking about Natalie.
Natalie
is our first appearance. You know, she's our first castmate, house roommate. I don't know. Well, she's number one. Natalie, who basically says she's never been kissed. She's grew up in a strict household. She's never had a boyfriend, and she's going to use Austin to try to find herself and to change that one date at a time. She seems like fun, but we only see her for 3 seconds.
We see her for 3 seconds. She seems like, she would like to date and have a relationship, but, of the many different potential romantic couplings in the house, none of them are pointed at her.
Not currently.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to hear about her insecurities with that as well. Mm-hmm. She's more full-figured than a couple of the other castmates. And her and another castmate, they're going to talk about that a little bit, about how there's some insecurities with that. But it seems like she wants to come into her own, embrace her own beauty, and maybe find someone here in this new atmosphere. And so I'm rooting for Natalie, but I think we're going to lean into that storyline a little bit moving forward, just not on this episode.
Okay. The second person that shows up is Raquel. She goes by Roxy.
Yes, Raquel, who I think is going to be a very like important person in this series. I think we're going to see a lot of Raquel. I think she works in tech, and that's all we get in the beginning. Like, you know, she works in tech and she's moving to Austin to start her career, because Austin is a big tech industry place. Like, that's where they go these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that Austin really blew up with the South by Southwest. Is that fair to say, or is it more that there was already a lot of tech stuff there, and that's why they had the South by Southwest there?
It's probably a mixture of both. Because being from here, South by Southwest used to be more, and I guess that's my criticism with Austin in general, right? It used to be very much like, this is localized, this is very like important to the community, but now it's a little bit contrived. Mm-hmm. It's jumped the shark a little bit. It's so commercial. You know, not that I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so commercial, I could never go there. It's like, I'm just not paying for that. But yeah, maybe South by Southwest is helping the city blossom. But it's been a thing forever. And, you know, I think now that it has the attention that it has, it's going to keep attracting people like Raquel to the city.
And it's like never ending, right?
What, South by?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like it goes on for months.
No. It's in March, I want to say. And then it goes away, and then the next March it comes back. But it's just like a conference and festivals about tech and film and music. I'm only going for music. Like, I want to see the performers and stuff like that. But it was a lot easier to do that when the tickets weren't sky high, mm-hmm. and, you know, you didn't have to compete with all the resellers and all this other stuff. It takes the fun out of it. Austin never had that appeal, like this big commercial push until recently. And so it's taking a long time for people to kind of come to terms with that this is the new South by Southwest.
Do you think that they will have South by Southwest during 20-somethings Austin?
Oh, I don't even know when this was filmed.
Yeah.
Do you think it was filmed last spring?
Because
I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
I never know what month it is. Like, okay, so it's December now. I suspect if they had this in the can for like the whole year,
I doubt it, right?
It looked nice. It looked like springy.
Yeah, it did. And you know what? One of the characters did say that the weather was kicking their butt. So maybe it was spring. Maybe it was summer. It does get pretty hot here in Texas. But I think it would be a missed opportunity if they didn't have South by Southwest in the middle of all of this.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you think?
So it would be a missed opportunity, but Sam Moore is behind the scenes, and he says the opening said it was filmed in fall of 2021.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It did say that. And so because of that, yeah, I think they're going to miss out on an opportunity here, because that means this filmed in the last 3 or 4 months. And if that's the case, then South by Southwest had not happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it had happened.
Yeah, it had happened, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's around the corner from now. Mm-hmm. And they missed it. That's a missed opportunity. It's probably really, really hard to film something like this for South by Southwest, because it's going to get very convoluted. They're not going to have, they would have to make a whole storyline surrounding the event, you know, as opposed to seeing how these people live their normal life and the event is going on at the same time. The event will take over the show.
Okay. Let's talk about Bruce. Are there a lot of young Bruces?
I don't think so.
I think this is the youngest Bruce in the world.
He might be. I mean, he says Bruce like the shark, that being a Finding Nemo reference. That's all I got.
Yeah.
I don't know any young Bruces, but he seems to be the youngest one at 23 years old. He's the type of person you see the cast on these shows. You know, he's a pretty white boy who plays baseball. He wants to play baseball professionally one day. And he's looking for love, you know,
Is he in the minor leagues?
No, it's just one of his goals.
If you're 23 and your goal is to play professional baseball and you're not on a minor league team, I'm sorry. Unless Tim Tebow couldn't make it work, Bruce.
I misspoke. I think he wants to work with a baseball team one day. A trainer. I don't know. Maybe he wants to be a trainer or something like that. The kid seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. If he wants to do it, Austin is the place to jump off in that track.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So Bruce has a website. It's called The Bruce Is Lose .com.
Uh-huh. Have you been to this website?
I'm on it right now.
Okay, and how is that?
Well, first of all, the Bruce Is Lose, Looze. Is that Gen Z slang, Chappelle?
I would not know. That's his Twitter handle for sure. Maybe it's just his brand. He's on TikTok.
The Bruce Is Lose.
Yeah, a lot of these people on the socials.
Hold on a second. What's wrong? Could this be correct?
What, lose?
No, okay. I'm on the BruceIsLose.com. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I clicked on Bruce's Twitter.
Okay. Okay.
How many Twitter followers does Bruce have?
I don't know. Take a guess. 1,000.
No.
Lower?
43. Yeah.
Okay. How about this? How about we just track to see if this helps their social media presence blow up? Because Gen Zers aren't the biggest in TikTok. I mean, in Twitter, they're more of TikTokers. But what does this TikTok look like?
What does this TikTok look like?
I highly doubt that his TikTok isn't popping if he is on this television show.
And I think he seems like he has a catchphrase, which is let's go with like a hang loose type thing.
Lose, hang loose.
Hang loose. Is that what he says? Is that his thing?
Yeah. You said lose. The Bruce Is Lose.
Does the avatar, the TikTok. Okay, click on TikTok. He has 1,340 followers on the TikTok.
See, that's a little bit stronger. He probably just created it recently because of the show. So I think the Bruce is going to he's going to pop one day. But Twitter's probably not the medium that he's going to do it
at. He has a bio on his website. Bruce Stevenson is a native of Greenville, South Carolina, who lives by the motto, let's go.
Okay. We should have done the whole season, and then we could have done a counter of how many times he says, let's go.
He's passionate about everything from sports to and live theater to beer and ice cream. While Bruce is a full-time home and auto insurance salesman, in his free time, he enjoys adventuring outdoors, working out in the gym with friends, and he's always down to catch a sports game or check out the best restaurants he can find. Let's go!
Hey, all right, Bruce. Okay. That sounds like a dating app, like a bio. Like,
I've never seen a website. He has his measurements.
His measurements of what, Rob?
Everything.
Everything.
Just about. Rob, yeah.
Get off the website. No, get off the website.
I can't. I'm so interested in the brucesloose.com.
Are you interested in his measurements?
I've never seen a website with measurements.
Okay.
Should I have that page on robhasawebsite.com?
You should have that on incognito mode at the worst. Wait, you know,
and then he's got like a bunch of like prompts. What is this? Am I on Hinge right now?
I told you. It feels like a dating.
Who are some of your favorite actors? What is an interview?
Bruce probably is a model of sorts, right? So mm-hmm. he's like letting the people know, like, this is what you can expect when you get Bruce. So you need to know his measurements. Most of his measurements.
Chappelle, guess his ankle.
His ankle?
Ankle
you
measurement.
Want me to guess how?
Yeah.
Are you talking about length or girth?
I think it's probably circumference. Yeah, girth, I guess.
I mean, he does look like he has a girthy ankle. What's a big ankle like? What are the ankle ranges? You know, like how? What? I have no idea. What's too big?
Yeah, 9.5.
Rob, what?
It's nine
is
and
that
a half.
Your guess?
That's I'm on the website.
Bruce, okay, Bruce. Yeah. All right, cool.
The Bruce, right, Bruce. Is loose.
Yeah, it loose. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing Bruce has some charity work. Apparently, he's been living with epilepsy.
Yeah, he has that. It didn't come up in the episode, right?
I just did a quick Google right now.
No, I'm on the website. I see it on the website also. Yeah.
Okay. Well. Yeah. It seems like Bruce wants to work in the field of helping people, you know, deal with epilepsy. The Epilepsy Foundation is promoted as well. You can make donations there. So I think that's pretty dope. You know, if you have something that you're living with that you're struggling with, or you know, a condition, and you want to help other people, I think that's a positive. Now I'm rooting for Bruce. I didn't have any strong feelings about anybody on this cast, but Bruce is one of my favorites now.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about Abby, who I think is probably emerging as one of these stars of the show.
Oh, yeah. Like, Austin is the number one star, and then Abby is number two with a bullet. Like, Abby is... I think Abby knows that she's good TV. And yeah. I think the rest of them don't know that. I think that she already... Like, when she walks in the room, she knows all eyes are going to be on her, and if they're not, she knows how to get them on her.
She knows. And she doesn't want the eyes to be on anybody else.
Oh, no. We will see that throughout this episode, that Abby does not like when other people are getting attention that she is not getting, that she feels like she deserves. But I think that's the best type of reality TV character. Like, I don't want you to be a villain necessarily, but I do want you to own, you know, the camera time. If we're going to put you on the TV screen, you got to make the best of it, because there's 8 of you in the house and you could get the purple edit like Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abby is a big star.
She is. She's recently divorced, and I don't remember her exact age, but like
she's 26.
To be divorced at 26, I mean, she got married very young. She also does not recommend that for other people who are listening to this, who are considering getting married very young. But yeah, I think she lives in Houston currently, so this isn't even that big of a jump for her to get to Austin. Like, it's like an hour and a half drive or something like that.
Yeah.
She
has a big scene in the episode where she ends up talking about how she is bisexual, and that is dealt with very well on the show, that she's talking about how, you know, it's, you know, not easy to come out and talk about that. And she does it. And it's definitely an interesting plot point in the show. She ends the show. Austin, hide your sons, hide your daughters.
Yep.
Abby's here.
Abby is here to take Austin by storm. I do have opinions about that scene when she, revealed that she was bisexual. I guess we could talk about it when it comes up. But yeah, Abby definitely wants the attention on her at different points. And in that scene, she definitely stole the show,
Keanu. I guess we talk about Keanu next.
Keanu.
Keanu.
Keeks.
Keeks. Yeah, Keanu. And he was telling the group about how that it's hard for him because he's gay. And that's when Abby, said that she could identify with that because she's also bisexual. And he was very funny that I loved it when in the opening scene that we saw, he's calling his mom and his mom says, Keanu, what do you want? I'm in the bathroom at Walmart.
And he's like, Mom, I'm so happy I'm about to move in. Like, you can see the joy all over his face. That does not slow him down at all. Like, Mom is in the bathroom at Walmart. And he's like,
I will call you back.
Yeah, like, I don't have time to call you back because we're filming. You have to have this conversation with me right now. Yeah, that moment where Keanu is telling the rest of the cast that, you know, he's like, he's gay and that he's moved from Arkansas. He's saying he's moving to Austin to be in a place that's a little bit more accepting and he can live, you know, live his actual truth and be his authentic self. And that's why I said I had opinions about that moment, because Abby just completely steps all over it. She's like, he's like, yeah, I have this really hard thing I've been wondering how to talk about, and I don't want to make this all about me, but, you know, I'm gay and I've never, she's like, oh my God, me too. Like, I am bisexual and I've been dying to tell somebody, thank you so much. And, although, I understand that she was like, you know, she's been itching to have that moment. She did kind of walk all over his moment on accident, but she was aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was aware of it, but I did think that was very funny because in seasons like shows like The Real World, I remember in those early seasons, it was always like, oh, there's a gay person in the house. Oh my God. Like, what are they going to think? What are they going to do? Are they going to look at me like, oh my God, someone has they have HIV. Oh my God. What if they touch something? You know, like that was the plot points from the early 90s. And this has changed a lot. So it's very refreshing to see Keanu and Abby in this scene or in this show, you know, living their best lives.
Okay. We also have Isha. Isha comes from Irvine. Isha showed up with about 4 more suitcases than anybody else who shows up at the house.
Now, Isha knows the game. Like, you got to bring your clothes. You can't just, this is Austin, and you're probably going to be going out a lot. You're going to be on television. You got to prep for that kind of stuff. I was fascinated by the people on Big Brother who, like, I feel like wear the same clothes all the time. I would be so self-conscious about the clothes. Wear on TV, because, you know, people gonna take pictures of you, screenshots, all this stuff. You don't want to be seen wearing the same ratty old hoodie. So yeah, Isha showed up with all her clothes. She's a triple air sign, so she's always in her head. She seems very, very intelligent, but she is hilarious. Like, I think she is the comedy of the series.
Okay, why do you feel like that she is so hilarious?
She gets Miami and Maine confused because they both start with the letter M, Rob. Like, I don't think anybody's ever gotten Miami and Maine confused for any reason ever. But she's like, oh, yeah, they're the same, right? Yeah. Miami, Maine. Yeah. They both start with M. And she says things like that throughout the episode. She's going to be like our treasure chest of one-liners. And I'm excited for her.
Yeah, she is going to have a flirtation, maybe more with Bruce.
Well, maybe. Or maybe with Abby. Right.
Maybe. Like, yeah. Well, maybe we'll see. Abby might be preoccupied.
I don't know, but it seems like Abby is open to it, and we don't know if Isha is as well.
Okay. Next, we're gonna meet Michael. Michael shows up. Michael is a stand-up comedian, although we don't really get to see any of his jokes from his act. He is a 23-year-old. From Los Angeles, and that you know that I have been calling him internally young Stephen Fishback.
Baby Steven.
Baby Steven.
Yes. Michael says he's a comedian. I believe he's 23 years old. He does not look 23-year-old to me. Like, Michael looks like he could be older than me. Not to say that that's a bad thing, but like when he said he was 23, I was like, oh, okay, that's younger than I thought. But I believe he's moving to Austin to pursue his stand-up career. And I didn't know Austin was the place to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, that's what they always tell you in comedy. Like, no, get out of Los Angeles. Get to Austin. If you want to make it in comedy. LA. Like, get out of L.A.
Don't know why that was the choice he made.
Well, I think the Netflix TV show was in Austin.
Right, yeah. It's like, if I can get my comedy on Netflix, then screw LA. Like, they'll see it in LA too. So not a bad decision.
Yeah.
So Michael is a fun character, and we'll see that he has some interactions.
Biggest plot line of episode 1.
Yeah. Michael has some interactions with Raquel early in the episode, but then later on he meets Laura. And they hit it off. And so I'm eager to see
big
what's up with Michael.
For Michael in episode 1.
He's heavy on the dating apps.
Yes.
And we're going to see Michael have some good moments.
Yeah.
episode, and we might see some things pan out for him later on in the future, dealing with Laura or other women as well.
Okay. And then the last person to enter the house is Kamari. Kamari is a 23-year-old and is a model.
Yes, Jacob Jones. I'm sorry. Kamari enters the house at 23 years old, and he is a model. And that's all we really understand about him. Like, he wants to join a modeling agency at some point. He looks the part, so I'm sure it'll work out for him. But yeah, he was giving me Jacob Jones vibes the entire time. Jacob Jones, for the people who are not familiar, is a podcaster on the Rob Has a Podcast Network, who is a model from Austin, who is now moving to New York. So he's doing the opposite of Kamari.
Yes. Okay. Did he switch spots with Kamari? It's like, was Kamari, was he in New York City?
No, he was actually in North Carolina.
Oh, Greensboro. So he's,
yeah. So he's not not too far, but yeah, they both are making transitions in their life. I think Jacob actually has his own, like, it's a part of an agency, whereas Kamari's just trying to get a part of one. So maybe they know each other. We'll have to check in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's the group. Guy's house, lady's house. Do you like the new setup, Chappelle?
It is interesting. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I'm sure for their comfort level, then yeah. And if there's not going to be a lot of talk about the interaction inside the house, which I do suspect that the show is going to be taking place outside of the house a lot more, then yeah, I don't mind it. Because like I said, in the real world, it's more like, how do you live with these people as your roommates? And this show is more about, like, how are you living your life in Austin? You just happen to have seven roommates.
Chappelle, what do you think of the houses here that the 20-somethings are going to live in?
Were fine when they came in the house. They were like, oh, look at the nice Texas vibe. And I'm like, what's a Texas vibe? I'm as a Texan, I don't know what that means. But there are moments where I see things that are probably Texan-esque, you know, and that I just don't realize it because I've been here my whole life. So there's like the big star on the back of the walls. Like, y'all don't have that in New York, North Carolina. Y'all don't have random big ass stars on the wall. There's cacti outside. Yeah. Again, things that I think are just normal that are probably Texas specific in a way, or at least Southwest specific. So I didn't hate it. Nothing stood out.
For me, I remember like watching The Real World, and the house that they would live in the real world was sort of like this like wish fulfillment of like you wanted to go be on The Real World, because they would live in like the coolest house like ever assembled. They always had like all these like amazing decorations and like a pool table and like all sorts of cool stuff. Like these houses, like they were fine. If it was your apartment, you would be like, okay, cool. But it just seemed a little bit like not super exciting in terms of like a destination.
Yeah, it was very Airbnb.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like a nice Airbnb, but it wasn't like, oh my God. Like, I wish I could, like, be on 20-somethings colon Portland so I could live in the house.
No, that's a good point. You know, as the real world historian on the podcast, I can say that I remember that was one of the draws that I had to watching The Real World, was the houses were always so immaculate. You know, I thinking about even, like, The Real World London. No, I'm sorry, The Real World Paris, they lived in a castle.
Yeah.
And The Real World Las Vegas, they lived in the Palms Casino at the top in a penthouse. I think they lived in New Orleans. They had like this like very like Bourbon Street.
Like a mansion. Yeah.
Yeah. Mardi Gras mansion. I tried to stay in that mansion, by the way, one time as an Airbnb. It was very expensive. It was actually booked. I was still going to do it, but it was actually booked for that weekend. We got
Did you have a group? Mansion.
Of course, Rob, please. They paid for it, and I pretended like I paid for it. I was like, oh, we'll split it 10 ways. And I was like, okay, well, it's $250 a person. And I was like, really? How much did you pay? Yeah, $250. That's what I paid. But yeah, so we ended up staying in an adjacent mansion. But yeah, I remember vividly The Real World Hawaii house. That was like the first one where like, it got scandalous, and they had like the volcano in the pool. So you're probably right. But I don't think this is going to be home centric. At least it doesn't seem like it for the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So everybody comes in, everybody hangs out. They split up into two groups. One group is going to get the pool ready. The other group is going to go to the grocery store.
Yeah. And before this, they tell everybody like, Well, they tell us, like, look, they have a confessional camera where they can go in. It's like they're explaining reality TV to the Gen Zers like they've never seen it before.
Well, maybe to the generation. I mean, when was the last season of The Real World? Maybe if you're Gen Z, if you're 20 years old, maybe you're not super familiar with this format.
It's one of those things where they stepped away from it long enough to where they're thinking, okay, well, maybe it's like it's regained its popularity, or, you know, like it's kind of like the hipster thing to do, you know, like, oh, it's so rustic and old. So they're like, oh yeah, like bring back confessional cameras and things of that nature. And so maybe that's what it is, but they talk about it and they show them all like getting used to being on their own and having this camera that they can vent to. I'm really hoping these kids are familiar with reality TV, because the confessional camera will get you into some trouble if you're speaking your mind and speaking freely.
Yeah. There's always like the time, like where like somebody like comes home with like a rando from the bar, and then they are like, they're like, some producer's like, hey, go in confessional with them.
Yeah. If you go into confessional, like, it'll be super, like, you get privacy in this confessional room. These people seem to have their own bedrooms. Like, I don't think I saw.
Well, this is a show all about people hooking up. So, I mean, basically, like, this is like too hot to handle, except you're allowed and they want you to hook up.
No, this is about exploring careers, Rob, please.
No, it's about exploring each other, I think.
That can be a career. Mm-hmm. But half of the group ends up going to go get the groceries. And then we see the group that stays behind with the pool. They're having a race to see who can blow up the inflatable fast enough. And this is right up Abby's alley.
Mm-hmm.
She's using this time to flirt with Isha.
She has incredible flirting superpower, Abby.
Yes. So she's flirting with Isha about sucking and blowing on the inflatable. Mm-hmm. And Raquel is at the grocery store trying to fill a spark with Michael.
Right. So this was interesting. So Roxy has a thing for Michael, which was wild.
Well, yeah, it came out of nowhere. But it seems like he has a thing for her, too.
He seems like her, too.
I thought this might be a match made in heaven. They both seem to be into each other. It could be. We'll see. But Michael does seem to have an issue with trying to figure out, I guess, how to show affection. He's kind of awkward in that way where he's like, I can't tell if she likes me. I'm not picking up on any vibes. And she's saying, like, I'm throwing all the vibes at him. I don't know why he can't pick it up. But the two seem to be hitting it off. So I thought that this might be our power couple of the season.
Okay, Chappelle, this is my question about Michael.
Okay.
Michael, who really throughout the most part of, throughout the episode, doesn't really say anything funny. He's a comedian, doesn't really tell any jokes. Is his whole character a bit?
Oh man, you know, I honestly,
is he actually not that funny, or is he actually like a brilliant comedian?
I had that thought as well, because he doesn't really tell jokes at any point, but he's using it to get women.
Yes.
Because that bit, if that's a bit, the only people who are ever laughing at him throughout this episode are the women that are into him. They are dying laughing at everything coming out of his mouth. And I'm like, he hasn't said anything.
Because the big storyline this episode, Michael is going to go on Tinder and match with a 51-year-old woman and take her on a date. And he seems to be talking about this unironically throughout the show. And the question I have is that, was this all a bit from Michael?
Well, how so? Was just like the,
like, hey, I am 23 years old. I am an aspiring comedian. It would be hilarious.
So funny.
If I went on this Netflix show and my story was, I was going and I matched on Tinder with a 51-year-old woman and took her out on a date. Like, that's that, like, basically, is he coming in and saying, like, I am going to do just a bunch of material because I am going to get the screen time?
Oh, well, honestly, That's probably not a bad plan. Because if you think about it, the camera is on Michael now. And so now everything he says and does is going to be looked at by the world. Everybody who watches the show. Whereas there's some people on the show who don't really establish their personality in the first episode. We know that Michael is a character just based off of this one thing that he does. And so I don't think it's a bad idea. I do question how long it takes for a 20-something to get on a dating app and match with somebody in Austin on their first day. Like, they have not been there. I think they slept one night. So it's probably been about 17 hours since they arrived at the house. He had already had that date lined up. So I'm impressed with his, his ability to kind of establish that so quickly. But he seems so awkward about it. He's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know, like, if she's going to like me and all this stuff. Like, sir, you signed up for this. You know, you were on the dating app.
It just seems so out of place that he's a guy who you get the sense does not date a lot. And on the first day of the Netflix show, he has a date. And a date with a person who you would not think is I think you set your criteria of like what you're looking for. Did he have like a very open-ended age range?
18 to 99.
Anybody that wanted to swipe right, he would take on the date.
Yeah. Rob, he's stealing your bit. This was your thing. I remember back in the days of Survivor of the Amazon, and you were, I can't get a date, blah, blah, blah. Before the show aired, Rob was almost wifed up. You, Nicole, had made you an honest gentleman of yourself.
That is true. That is that is true.
Rob, tell us.
I wasn't dating Nicole because it was hilarious.
I'm just saying, Rob. That was your bit. You leaned into it like, oh my gosh, now that I'm here, like, what if somebody, what if Jen and Heidi
But I can identify with Michael in some way if he's a guy who's having trouble getting dates. But if I was not on TV, I'm not sure necessarily if I would have answered a personal ad of a woman who was 51 when I was 23.
If you were 23 and Nicole was 51, would you have answered the ad?
Chappelle, I'm not sure I'm going to take her calls when she's 51 in real life.
She will never hear this, so I think you're okay. But watch it. The listeners will snitch on you. It's a May-December romance, if you will.
So, yeah. All right. So they go to the grocery store. Who's paying for the groceries, Chappelle?
They didn't establish that at all. They didn't tell us if they got them an allowance. If there's some, I mean, none of them seem to have jobs yet. They just moved in. Rob, you're asking the hard hitting questions because I have no clue.
Yeah. I think they're buying whatever they want. Like, I think Netflix has this.
Yeah. Put it on Netflix's account. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's when Ishida reveals that she eats meat, but only vegan meat. So animal products, but the vegan version is what she says.
Yeah.
Thought that was so funny.
Okay. So Michael and Roxy, there's some flirtation there. Okay. We see Keanu Kiki.
Yeah.
That he bonds with Natalie over, hey, like, everybody else is hot here, except for us.
Yeah. See, that's how I bond with people. I find the normal person in the room. I'm like, hey, you.
We're the normies.
We're normal. Like, these people are about to go get a spinoff after this. So this is all we have.
So, but don't worry. The audience is identifying with us.
Right. Well, we're of the people. Trust me on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know what they're doing. And I like it too, because Natalie, that's when she says, like, you know, like, I don't feel like the most attractive when I'm around them, but maybe I am. Maybe I am the most attractive and I just need to own it and, you know, embrace that part of me. And I'm rooting for her because, like, that just sucks to feel like, oh my gosh, everybody around me is pretty. Like, you got it, Natalie. Stop it.
Chappelle, there's another couple coming together. Abby is getting major vibes from Kamari.
Yes. So Isha and Abby are talking, and I think Abby is flirting with Isha, but she feels like she's getting major vibes from Kamari. And I love how Abby throughout the episode just keeps saying, you know, Isha and Kamari keep talking, but I'm just not, I'm not feeling them together. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Then she says, then Isha says, well, Isha and Bruce are talking. I'm sorry. Abby says, Isha and Bruce are talking, and I just don't think they vibe together. I'm like, Abby, who do you think vibes with Isha? Because it seems like you're the only one who you allow to vibe with Isha in these moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's going to be a spark here with them and Kamari.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's going to come up a lot more later. We're going to close the episode. Very strong vibes on Kamari and Abby, and then Bruce and Isha, that they're gonna really start to. So basically, we have like three pair of the eight people, three couples potentially.
Potentially. I think there are probably more. So I think in Abby's mind, it's Abby and Isha, it's Isha and Kamari, it's Isha and Bruce, it's Abby and Kamari, and then it was Raquel and Michael, but Laura might have something to say about that later on.
Okay. So Roxy is going to confide in Natalie about Michael. And she says, I don't understand. Why is he awkward with me? I feel like I like him. And it's just like something is off. Natalie says, maybe he has a small penis. That could be
That could be it. That's what she says. Michael does not have his measurements on his website.
He does not. I mean, he does not. Actually, I haven't been on his website.
I wouldn't look it up. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I mean, that would be a hilarious website.
You think so? You think it'd be part of the bit?
Yeah, I think it'd be part of the bit. If you had like a website, it was like you said, like all your like measurements and then also penis size. Like, I think that would be pretty hilarious.
I mean, it's only hilarious if it's like, you know, not like serious, right? Because if you have a website and you're like, no, look at my big, huge member. You're like, okay, creep.
Yeah, that's probably
probably a website you don't want to explore.
I'm not sure. Like, I have to see in practice. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know.
I don't have a website.
Yeah.
I don't have a website, but I do know somebody who does have a website. So, Rob, if you could update your website, then maybe we'll see how hilarious it is.
I don't think it would be hilarious if I did it. People would be mad
Now it's person-specific all of a sudden. Okay. Yeah.
But I think if somebody was a comedian and they had that as over their website.
Okay, Rob. www.robhasawebsite.com. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael's on Cameo.
Already?
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, do they sign them up from it while they're filming? Like, okay, meet me on Cameo. That's probably how he got the date. He probably was on it months ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chappelle, a cameo from Michael Fractor. More or less than a cameo from Lori Beth Denberg.
Got to be more. Lori Beth has been lowballing us. So Michael's probably $50.
No, $19.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's see.
He's done one? No.
He hasn't, but he will before the end of the week.
I think if you do Michael's cameo, I think you will be his first. If you you could take his cameo virginity.
Oh. Okay, I'm probably not old enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I'm probably not old enough to do that.
You want
to
hear what Michael says on Cameo?
Yeah.
Okay, here, let me see. Here we go.
From 20-somethings Austin. I'm on Cameo now. So book me. What do you have, a graduation, funeral, birthday? I'll say it all. And by the way, it's Michael from 20-somethings Austin. Book me. It's going to be a lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. Okay, bye.
There you go.
We could have probably got Michael for the podcast. You'd have been a great guest
for the podcast. Yeah, Netflix. So. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I don't think so. I think now is probably prime time to start getting on these interviews because these people are going to be mega stars soon.
All right. So then we cut from. I thought this was very sneaky editing from Netflix. So Roxy and Natalie are talking. Natalie says, "Well, maybe he's just standoffish because he has a small penis." And so Michael is talking with the guys, and then They had like that, like, what do you call that thing? Like a pinhead thing of like a thing that you have on your desk that you like push into your face and it'll like make a mold of your face. And then he talked about like, oh, imagine if I put my penis into this, it would look like this. And he had like a tiny little outline. Yeah, and I was like, maybe there's where there's smoke, there's fire.
She said, some small penis energy is what you're saying.
SPE.
Yes, SPE. Yeah. I mean, maybe. Again, that's funnier than him being like, oh, yeah, if I put my dick on this, it wouldn't even fit. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Michael, like, cut it out. So, yeah.
Cut it out.
He's part of the joke here. See, he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's
just like, that was the funniest thing he said on the episode. Yeah, that was the funniest thing.
He just hasn't done any jokes, but I'm sure we'll get a piece of his stand-up before the end of the season.
Yes. Okay. And this is when he reveals to the guys that he has a Tinder date and she's 51. And everybody is like, oh my God, you're joking. It's like, no.
They think he's being funny.
Yeah.
I understand. Sometimes I tell people I'm going on a date and they're like, you're joking. Stop it.
Stop it, Chappelle.
Stop it. Stop it. Look at you. Stop it.
Stop it. Yeah.
Stop it. You're unique.
And then everybody's like, get the phone out. We want to see for real.
Yeah. And then you have to whip it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And everybody sees Laura and it's for real.
Yeah. They were impressed. They said, oh, shoot. It's a 51-year-old woman. What does she want with you, Michael? And I have to wonder the same. Like, Laura, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Chappelle, are you surprised that Laura, the 51-year-old woman that we will meet, signed the waiver to use her likeness on this show?
Surprised? Yeah, I'd probably say I'm surprised. That is definitely a choice. Like, you go date a 23-year-old on TV, and you're 51. Like, you definitely... You about that life. I'll put it like that. You about that life.
I mean, what do you think that... Is Laura telling all her friends, like, hey... Check out a new show, 20-something. You want to see me date a 23-year-old? Check this out. You want to see how much game I have? Well, I'm dating 23-year-olds.
Right. And then she's seeing him freak out because he's a child. He's just like, I don't know. She's a professional. She has a real life. Yeah. She's a grown woman. What do I do?
And her adult like children up. Are like, Mom, that's gross.
Yeah, she does have kids. Oh, gosh, Laura, what are you doing? Right, look, date who you want to date. But it's TV, Laura. Come on, man. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Laura might be here for some screen time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do I need to get on Tinder is the question. Laura, she was a handsome lady.
I mean, I just say Laura, like when they talk about like that she was going to be 51, like, you know, I thought she looked good.
Yeah. Nancy Reagan-esque in a way. Like, was very Nancy handsome lady. Yeah, handsome lady.
Just say no, Michael.
Please, Michael, we'll love protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just before the tweets come in and say, boy, you guys were really hard on the 51-year-old lady who was dating the 23-year-old. Let's just say for the record, we would not have been like if a 51-year-old guy was dating one of the 23-year-old women. Like, wow, what a stud.
We would probably be dragging that man, which is unfair, probably. But at the same time, we're not hating on Laura. I just think
we're celebrating her.
Honestly, Laura, I ain't doing nothing. I'm not 23, but you know, I give 23-year-old energy sometimes. Call me.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me about Reaganomics. It looks like.
Who do you think paid the check? At the date between Michael and Laura.
Netflix paid for that.
I mean, this is why I feel like that was there shenanigans here? Because like, what is this conversation of like Michael answers like I don't know what are they on like Bumble?
I think it was Hinge. She hollered at him.
So she hollers at him. He says, "Hey, great! I'm new in town. I want to let's go on a date. I am taping a Netflix reality special, so there will be cameras accompanying me on the date. Are you cool with that?"
Yeah, you're right. Because at that point,
it's like, now this is too weird.
Right. If I'm 51 and I'm for some reason hollering at a 23-year-old, which is, you know, whatever, I probably don't want it broadcasted on television.
Either that or you want to let everybody know.
Right. So maybe, yeah, maybe that was in his bio, like on YouTube, like being filmed by a Netflix show right now. And Laura's like, bet. And she just swipes like, yeah. Like, oh, looks so a little clout. Mm-hmm. Because Laura, to her credit, she was a little forward, or at least I got forward vibes from Laura, because when they look at the menu, Rob, did you pick up on what she was talking about ordering?
69 scrimps.
69
Which
scrimps?
I don't think we ever found out what 69 scrimps was.
Listen, 69 scrimps was on, I think it was a euphemism, but
You don't think it was going back to what Roxy and Natalie were talking about, was it?
I was more talking about the number instead of the the length of said shrimp or scrimps. Well, he said it. He was like, oh, do you think they're really small? I was like, what is happening here? What's happening here? But then she said, no, I think I'll just take the olive and nuts. And I was like, okay, Laura, lay off the, okay, calm down, lady. Like, Laura's like Abby, like the camera comes on and she just lights up. She's like, I'm here to play the game.
I guess we jumped ahead to the date. Laura's, what's your style of comedy? And Michael can't really tell her.
Because I'm not sure he knows.
Either that or yes, my style of comedy is where I take 51-year-old women on dates on Netflix.
He like looks at the camera, like turns his head. Like yeah. Yeah, you would think that the date wasn't going too well, because it seemed like they were on separate pages. Like, it looked like Michael was still trying to wrap his mind around, like, oh my gosh, an older woman. But Laura was like, 69, nuts, let's talk about these things. And what the middle ground that they came on is that Michael decides to invite her to the live music concert that they're going to later on. You
know,
with his roommates.
In fairness, and again, like, I've never been in, on the 23-year-old end of the 51-year-old date with a woman. But like, what the hell else are they talking about, Chappelle? Like, do they have anything else in common?
Are you saying that Laura had an agenda here, Rob?
Yeah, I think so.
She saw Michael and his full head of facial hair and his new camera setup and was like, you know, let me see what this is about. I don't think they have much in common. Are we sure this wasn't Cougar Life?
Yeah, she's pitching for her own Netflix show, Cougar Life.
I was talking about the dating app, Rob.
She's like, hey, Netflix is gonna green light anything. I'm gonna get my own show after this.
If she plays her cards right, she might. She probably, Cougar Life is probably where we could have found this swiping. He said Tinder, but not, or Hinge, and I'm not sure, right? I'm not so sure. I think it's Cougar D is the name of the app.
.com?
It's just an app. Okay. I don't know if they have a physical website. I might check it out.
Cougar D. Is it one word?
It's one word. Okay. Cougared.
Cougared. That's, I feel like that's a different connotation.
Cougared.net, I believe.
Cougared.net. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to put your measurements on your app on Cougared?
I will let you know in 17 minutes when I'm done creating a profile.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, speaking of apps, Bruce finds Isha on Hinge.
Yeah. So Bruce is upstairs. He's doing his swiping because, again, these people just got there, but they've already updated their profiles to let you know, what they're looking for and what range. And it seems like, as someone says, he might have put his range as to like
1 mile,
10 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, 1 mile. Is there any single women 1 mile away from me who might be looking? Because he does find Isha on the app. Now, this was actually pretty funny to me. Because what are the odds, right? Like, you have to be swiping pretty hard to find a specific person that you're looking for, mm-hmm. or that you live with on one of these apps, especially in Austin, because you have to imagine that there's tons of people on these apps in Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. he was might have been swiping all day.
The I mean, Bruce is loose. The moment he got there, Bruce is loose. And Isha says that, you know, he's hairless and hot and easy to talk to. But she was shocked to see that he popped up on her end, too. Because once he swiped, you know, she got the notification and she was downstairs, I guess, in the other house laughing about it with the rest of the women.
So, Chappelle, this is, I guess, what's wild for me as somebody who's been out the game for this long.
Before apps.
You prefer apps. BA. No,
before apps.
Right.
Yeah.
So these people are in Austin for what? 14 hours at this point? They are in the midst of filming a brand new reality show, and a day doesn't go by where people aren't just, you know, swipe. Is it just like brushing your teeth? Like what percentage of your day is swiping the apps?
I ain't on these apps. So yeah. I don't know, but I know people swipe them. I think it's one of those mindless activities that you don't have to put a lot of thought into a lot of times, because when you're swiping, a lot of times it's just based off of appearance. Mm-hmm. So you eyeball it real quick. Nope. Not like tweeting. Sometimes you just say what you gotta say.
Did you get notifications down, like, oh, you have like six new people that want to date you?
Yeah, if you get a lot of likes, then I think that it notifies you. But I think for a lot of people, the reason why they're on that app is because the likes ain't just popping up like that. You know, they're getting a lot of like no goes as well, and so you probably go an hour or so, maybe, if you're, you know, not like the most like striking in photo before you get like a like. And then you also like, if you're really paying attention,
I mean, I could wait an hour, Chappelle.
I mean, well, but then that's just based off photo. But then, because if you really look at the, like, if you're sitting down and you're really paying attention on the app, then you got to go through their bio, and there are some things you got to know about the apps, Rob, that you just can't be okay with. Like, for one, we know that if a guy is holding a fish in his profile picture and any other pictures on the bio, you don't swipe right.
Right.
You gotta go. You don't do that because it's basic. You gotta look for
I would not swipe right on the guy with a fish.
I too would not either. Okay. Mm. But then like, there are other like, you know, little tales that you gotta look for, keywords that you're looking for in the bio. This is science, Rob. So
I guess keyword. What would your keyword be?
My keyword. What red flags would I be avoiding in a bio?
Red flag words.
Yeah, like, oh, cool. I'm sure there's green flag words too. Like, if you see somebody who's saying like just looking for a good time, like that's immediately like yes, that person for you. Well, no, I don't know. Depends on who you are. For me, yeah, that person's for me. You're just looking to have fun. Let's do it. But if you like just got out of a relationship of 13 years, looking to settle down, like no, absolutely not. So when you want to sit down and get into like the nitty gritty of it, that's a different type of swiping. But you know, I think there's some mindless swiping going on when you're just going off appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, not on these apps, but because I just feel like it would take up too much of my day. You know,
I love Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, but see, on the one hand, I would be like, that person is probably not for me. On the other hand, I would be like, that person probably has low standards. And so I might just tiptoe out there and see what's there for me, you know, because, you know, listen, lower your standards. If she has an astigmatism and really can't see well, then that's probably another person that is probably good for me. You know, there's a few that I would probably give a chance to based off of their bio, just off of that.
Yeah. All right. Everybody's at the bar. We have our final act is at the bar. Everybody is there. Seen a concert? Was this like a known musician?
No. See, Austin is known for being
live music. Well, yeah.
Live music for tech and for keeping Austin weird. That's Austin's slogan. Mm-hmm. Keep Austin weird. And so you can find live music in Austin at any given time and any day on any night forever. Like if I went to Austin right now, I could just go to a concert because they just happen. Now, is this person a known artist? Probably. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not hard to come by in Austin. Now, I am recognizing that these are, you know, young adults. And so, like, for Roxy, she had never been to a concert before. So this was a really big deal. They were making a meal out of it for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of a meal, Roxy is talking about, hey, look, I got a thing for Michael, but he is not showing any interest. Roxy, I think, he's getting ready to move on. She said, I think she told Natalie, she said, the soup is getting cold.
Yeah, it was hot and it was ready.
It's hot and ready.
Like a Little Caesar's pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But the soup is getting cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael is losing her because he's, for some reason,
he had that soup hot.
He had it hot, piping hot, ready to go.
Ready to go.
Now it is not. And so, you know, the whole episode, she spent the time trying to figure out, like, what just isn't connecting with her and Michael? Is he not that into her? What's going on? And to her amazement, we see Michael get out of the car with his date. He actually brought a date to their first outing.
Yeah.
And so I think this is the nail in the coffin for what could have been for the two of them.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, really?
I think that this is going to get the soup back on boil.
Oh, you think the competition is going to spice things up?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll see.
Well, we are yet to see that, but I love the look on their roommates' faces.
Yes.
I mean, Bruce looks completely shocked when he shows up because Bruce has seen Laura on the app.
Yeah.
But I don't think he considered the fact that he would go and meet Laura for lunch and then bring Laura to the, you know, subsequent concert with his roommates. That was a move.
Yeah.
Look, for all Michael says he is bold.
He's bold.
He is bold. I give him that.
See, as you walk in with Laura, everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I have also my notes that the show is shot very well, Chappelle, that they do a really good job with the cinematography here.
Sadly, though, like, because the cinematography is so good, it feels a little scripted. Like, if you told me that this was not a reality show and these were all paid actors, I don't think I would, like, disagree, because there's nothing here that is like, it doesn't, a lot of it is so beautiful, right? They're like, they're getting all the angles. They're following Michael outside to walk Laura out. Like, I don't think it's shenanigans. I'm just saying that it looks so professional that if you told me it was scripted, I wouldn't flinch at it. I think it's really well shot. They did a great job.
Okay. We see a lot of flirty talk between Abby and Kamari.
Yes. Now, Abby has not really shown that much interest in Kamari to this point. She's shifting. Now, she has shown interest for
She has shifted into ninth gear at this point.
Right. And Abby, Abby is, it's Abby time, I will say. Because Abby has set her sights on Kamari, and she's
the
like,
the soup is hot.
It's hot, Rob. It's hot. 69 scrimps hot.
69 scrimps are hot. And somebody better get to this soup because it is about to spill everywhere.
Yeah. Literally all over Kamari. So at this point, Abby is just like, hey, what's up, Kamari? Like, are you like, what are you into? What are you trying to do? And he's just like, what are you talking about? She's like, nah, like, stop playing. Like, it's time. Like, Abby has set her sights on Kamari, and she tells him, like, nah, I'm good in bed. Okay, so make no mistake.
I believe what she said is, I'm better in bed than you are.
Right.
And I don't even know how you measure that.
Well, she says, you got to find out.
You got to find out. Is there like sort of like NFL combine? Like, I don't even know how you would compare those rankings.
The combine in her pants. She says she likes to compete because when she competes, she wins. She says that to him. Like, she even says, now this is a classic player line. She like, see, you scared. That's you scared. You scared. Yeah. And he like, scared, like clutching his pearls. Like, I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. And she like, nah, you scared, baby. You ain't serious about this. You know, you ain't ready for this, Abby. I'm like, Abby, go on, girl, get him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abby wasn't playing no games.
She was not playing.
No. And when she plays, she wins.
Yeah. We cut back to Michael and Laura. And Michael, who said earlier in the episode, like, I don't know what to do. Do I touch my date? I don't know anything. I've never been on a date before. And then he's going to make out city, Chappelle.
Yeah. So
20 somethings : make out city.
There are two things happening almost simultaneously. So on the inside, you have Abby, who's basically looking at Kamari, and he's like, oh, you want something to drink? And she said, oh, I know what I want to eat. Like, I want something in my mouth. Like, whoa, what is happening? I want something. She said, I want something. I was like, what does that mean? And then on the outside, you have Michael like, oh, well, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know. And then he's planting a kiss on Laura. I was like, oh, my God.
The soup is hot.
It's hot everywhere. It's soup inside, outside, all over the place hot. So he plants a kiss on Laura. And then he's telling us in his confession, like, I don't know if I walk into the car, if I kiss her, what's happening? Am I a savage and I just leave her standing there? So he does. Mm-hmm. He kisses her and he leaves her standing there like a savage. I was like, you go, Michael.
Yeah.
You go, Michael. Now, to be fair, Michael, you probably should have walked into the car. You just said, what if we continued the date? But I think he had already, accomplished his goal.
Yeah. What he had said was, well, Laura, because she's an actual adult and not a 23-year-old, has things to do tomorrow. So she has to leave early.
He's like, yeah, in case you didn't notice, this person is older than me. Like, yes, Michael, we get it.
Yes, no, we got it. I wrote in my notes, young Steven has game.
He does. He does. Even though he's pretending he does not, Robert. He definitely does.
Why are you Robert there?
Well, I'm talking about this Survivor of the Amazon persona. You've been with this woman since the day that episode was filmed. Like,
yeah.
You got back. The episode aired, and now you're married with two kids. Michael Fishback.
Wait, you think Michael's gonna marry Laura?
Probably not Laura.
Yeah.
Probably not Laura.
Yeah, Chappelle.
Well, whoever he's watching the episode with today.
There was one woman that I met that expressed romantic interest in me. That was it.
This was the first woman. See, you are kept.
No, that was the only one.
Nicole has been scaring these women off, beating them off with a stick. Rob, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So whoever Michael's at home watching this episode with, she's probably the one.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Wife them up. It's good. Like, I love a happy ending.
Yeah. Okay. So does Abby.
Yes, she does.
Yes. All right. And Abby gets the last line of the episode. She gets the last word. Hide your sons, hide your daughters. Abby's in town.
That is the title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Hide your sons, hide your daughters.
Yeah.
She said, I'm out here and I'm on the prowl. And man, I love Abby. I mean, she's amazing TV. She knows it. She knows it.
She's great.
Yeah.
Chappelle, now talking something. About this, now I want to watch more.
I don't think we should not
the
watch
soup
more.
The soup was warm, and now I feel like now that we talked about this, now the soup is hot.
All right, we're bringing the Bubble Boys back, this time to cover 20-somethings Austin. More soup for you. That's our tagline. 20-somethings Austin, a podcast. More soup for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, bring in Akiva. The three of us will weigh in on these 20-somethings.
Well, if there's anybody that knows about 20-somethings and, happening dating lives, it's Akiva.
Look, Akiva managed to pull off something that many people are not able to do. Akiva got married at the ripe old age of 16 and been together forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unlike Abby, he made it work.
He made it work.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now Rob, I like this a lot. I think talking it through with you, it made me appreciate it a little bit more. It's some good stuff here. And then, it's 20-somethings : Austin. Does that lead you to believe that there could be a 20-somethings : something else later on?
I think so. I think they'll do another season if this is popular.
Yeah, so where do you think they would go next?
Now, interestingly, I was looking at it. This came out on Friday. It was not in the Netflix top 10. So maybe this might be a slow boil on the soup.
Is it in the Netflix top 10 now?
Okay. I looked this morning. I didn't see it in the top 10. Maybe after this podcast, maybe this is going to help give it some buzz. I would love to hear from anybody that watched the full season or the first six episodes you know, whether or not things are getting more interesting or if it doesn't go anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Let us know if we should be keeping an eye on these 20 somethings. I really, really hope there's a Jacob Jones sighting. Mm-hmm. I know Austin is a big city, but Jacob Jones is a man of the people. I would not be surprised if I saw my good friend Jacob before he
where do you think he would come into the story?
He's definitely going to meet Abby at some point. Yeah, Jacob is going to meet Jacob is the type of person that if he knew these people, he would be in that house. Mm-hmm. And I think they missed, well, whoever did the casting, they definitely missed the mark by not having Jacob Jones.
They don't seem to have anybody from like a native of Austin. And if that's on the Real World, they do have that, like somebody who's actually from the place that they are doing the season, but they did not have a native Austinian.
Austinite. I believe it's Austinite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is why I feel like Austin is the star of the show. I think they brought everybody in to experience Austin as a conduit to starting their new life. And if you already live in Austin, it kind of defeats the premise of what the show is supposed to be. And so maybe that's why. But I do think that, I mean, they missed out on a star here with Jacob. Mm-hmm. Jacob is everything. He would have been so great. But maybe when they have 20-somethings, New York City might get a Jacob
Jones. NYC. Where do you think would be the logical next place? And New York City, I feel like, is too basic.
Austin's pretty basic, too.
But I think that they wanted to do a place that they never did. They never did a Real World Austin, right?
They did. I think they did two Real World Austins.
Oh, okay.
Real World Austins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where does the S go? Austins. Real World Austin. I think that they did at least one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did at least one because that was the Danny and Melinda season. And I like that season too. But anyway, so I think the Real World Austin definitely was a thing. So they could go to New York, but again, maybe Seattle, which I know they did a Real World for that, but we just talked about it. Seattle had its moment of being the it place to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't foresee them staying in Austin if this works out. I would like to see them branch into. Yeah, I would like to see them branch into other cities in Texas. I know it's not a Texas-centric show, but I would like that.
2021 hot cities. I'm not talking about the weather.
Oh, okay. Talking about the measurements.
We care about the hottest home markets? Fastest growing places in the U.S.
Yes, I feel like that's, fastest growing places. Okay, yeah, that's the point.
Let's see. Okay, because I feel like Austin is like always where it is. This is
it's the boom.
Okay. All right. Let me go to...
What's Baltimore doing?
Baltimore?
Yeah, what's Baltimore doing? See. I don't think they had a Real World Baltimore.
I don't know. Let me give you the top 10. Orlando, 8, Port St. Lucie, 7. What is it? Alt Florida? 7 is Daytona Beach. 6 is Ocala, Florida.
What is this? Alt
Florida?
Listen, what this am is I propaganda.
The fastest growing places in the United States. Everyone in the top 10 is, it was all Florida and then Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
That's just because it's God's waiting room. It's where people go to die.
Yeah, is that people are retiring? So
people are dying, Kim. I think what it is that people are just going there to like live out their last days. Florida is not anywhere where mm-hmm. I would film anything.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's like a beach, Miami or something like that, I'm not going to be rude to Florida, but the rest of Florida is ridiculous. Okay,
the 11 best cities for young professionals in 2021. Austin is on the list. Okay.
All right, cool. What else we got?
Here are the 11 cities. Okay.
All right.
Arlington, Virginia.
Is that a...
Stop me when you hear something you like. Okay. Columbus, Ohio.
Keep going.
Denver.
Put an asterisk by that. Okay. We might come back and give it a ding.
Durham, North Carolina.
Rob, what do you think?
So, I mean, I could see it. Like, I feel like that's probably like pretty good. Again, the 20-somethings Durham. I don't know if it was going to be that sexy.
Ah, Durham. Place where dreams are made of.
Yeah. Minneapolis. Nashville.
I could see that. What is it about the South that makes people feel like that's where I need to move to change my life now?
Well, I feel that Nashville has like the music scene.
It does.
Yeah.
Sewed up. Yeah.
Omaha.
No.
Pittsburgh.
No. God, no.
Salt Lake City.
Rob, please.
Seattle.
Okay. Okay. Is that it?
That's it. That was the 11 right. places for young professionals.
All right. I don't know. I think I've aged out of young professional, but I could see myself in a Durham or Seattle. I could not see myself in any of those places. Maybe Denver, but it's too cold.
Yeah.
Too cold.
Okay. All right, Chappelle, well, very fun to talk about the 20-somethings of Austin with you. What are we going to talk about next time?
So, I don't know if you've missed it, but it's holiday season.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, believe me, I know, Chappelle.
I'm sure you've been frequenting the mall Santas by now.
I have seen two Santas in person.
Yes. Congratulations. Send them my wishes. But because we have approached the holiday season and we have a lot of listeners who celebrate many different holidays, but I think Netflix has done a really good job of promoting their holiday movies. Yep. I think it's time for us to acknowledge some of those films. So yes. If you would like, I think next week we should tackle one of the holiday movies.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense because it is holiday time to talk about a holiday film.
Right, exactly. Like, I was going to say, we should wait a couple weeks.
It wouldn't have made as much sense to talk about a holiday film of when it came out, because it wasn't the holidays.
Right, but like, this particular week, we can do it. Yeah, I was going to say, let's wait till January. There's some holidays in January, but this is fine. We can settle for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there a holiday movie that stands out to you?
Not especially.
No, we haven't gotten any strong feedback from anybody about any holiday movies. Like, I've been keeping an eye out. I've been listening closely to what the people want to hear. Mm-hmm. And I
you
just
have
don't
an
think
ear
any...
on the street.
I try to. I'm not a Kiva. You know, I don't have my finger on the
finger
pulse.
On
of
the
listeners.
Pulse. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a Kiva, but I've been checking out here and there what the people are saying. And I don't know. We might have to settle, Rob.
Okay.
I'm thinking that. We have to settle on between one of the more entertaining sounding movies to me, like a single All the Way, or one of the more, you know, lackluster sounding movies like The Princess Switch 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
do
I mean,
we
those
need
are two holiday
the,
films.
The backstory of Princess Switch 1 and 2?
You know, I think we can go into this one blind.
Go into it blind, okay.
Or we can bring in a guest who is familiar with the entire franchise.
Is it like a Home Alone where it's not really canon, like Home Alone 3, like you didn't have to watch Home Alone 1 and 2?
Maybe we should just watch Home Alone, you know?
Like Chappelle, maybe that's just default. I know you talked about the Home Alone on the SHIT 90s show podcast, right?
I did. I'm itching to talk about Home Alone 2.
My kids watch the new Home Alone.
Yes,
Home what Alone. What the hell was this?
It sounds like you watched it.
They had it on. I'm like, I don't even understand. What did they do? Why did they redo this?
Look, it had been a while. Why did they just make 20-somethings Austin? You give it a little while. Mm-hmm. You bring in the next generation with a similar format. But I hear it's a hot-ass mess. Luckily, I don't think Home Alone 4... Is it 4? Home Alone 4? Is it on Netflix?
It's 6.
Six?
Oh, no, Home Alone's not on Netflix. It's on Disney Plus.
Okay. So yeah, we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't think even follow. Who is this kid? Is he related to, like, how is this connected to the original Home Alone universe?
From what I understand, Buzz from Home Alone 1 is in the most recent Home Alone.
Buzz?
He's in the movie. That's what
I
said.
My kids had it on.
I mean, that's what I saw. Mm-hmm. I saw when I was talking about Home Alone 1 that Buzz was like, Buzz McAllister was a cop. And so I think that's where the connection between the original, property comes from.
Okay. All right. So are we princess switching next week?
I don't know. If people are clamoring for it, I guess we can
is
do it.
Is the soup hot for Princess Switch 3?
I don't know if the soup has ever been hot for it, but I will reach out because I do have a guest in mind who wouldn't mind talking about it. So yeah, let me, you know, piddle around and see what I can find. But yeah, I think Princess Switch 3 might be on the docket to bring in the holidays officially.
All right. That'll be next time on Nothing But Netflix. Okay.
Yes.
Chappelle, then what else do you have going on? We talked about Snick Shows Are Trash.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Good response so far. People seem to like it.
People seem to like it. You know, I don't check out the Renap subreddit, so I don't get into
I haven't looked at it lately.
The annals of the internet. Mm-hmm. I don't hang out there. But I've heard good things. And so that was a good time.
Yeah, there used to be a person that would, and like as soon as the episode went up, they would post a thread. And I think they must not like the podcast anymore because they don't really post it. They don't really make the thread.
I mean, if they were making a subreddit for it, it sounded like they never liked the podcast. Because
it used to be, for pretty good. But then I feel like then there was some negativity.
I have made a personal choice to never go on Reddit if I can avoid it.
Yeah.
And I live my life by that. And I'm living a happy life right now.
Yeah. Smart.
Please don't make a nothing but Netflix Reddit. We don't need that.
No.
Like I will report it as spam.
No. Akiva wanted to make a Renap subreddit.
Oh, see that Akiva always be wrong, but that's fine. So for me coming up, you know, I'm still talking about Insecure, HBO's hit show, created by Issa Rae. We're coming up on our last few episodes, and this week our special guest is Amon Adwin. And so,
very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Latanya Starks, Mari Forth, and myself, joined by Amon, to get close to that. I think we only have two or three more episodes left. And so, very excited for that. So, check that out on postshowrecaps.com and subscribe to Post Show Recaps, or you can subscribe to our feed directly, Insecure, the Post Show Recap. Also, still talking about Never Have I Ever, the aforementioned Sarah Ferguson, who was on the Renap episode talking about Snick Shows and guiding us, you know, ever so gracefully. She recently came on that podcast to talk to Sasha and I about another hit Netflix show, Never Have I Ever. And so we're almost done with that season as well. And that is all. That's all I got going on right now. Just trying to wrap those two things up. If you haven't already checked out Oxcord Approved with Isaiah 8-Ball Bangers, please check that out. I was on the first episode of that talking about the Tyler, the Creator album. And, you know, I love hearing Rob has a podcast with music coverage. So it was a great time. But yeah, that's what I'm working on. I'm actually just getting ready to wrap up the holidays. I'm trying to figure out where I can go for the winter. I need a trip, Rob.
You're going to go, okay, for not for Christmas, but for the actual winter months.
For December, yeah. Like, it's December. It's getting kind of chilly here in Texas. Not really. It was like 85 degrees a couple days ago. But regardless, I get this itch sometimes when I want to travel. And I'm trying to figure out what's next for me. So don't be shocked if I randomly pop up in a different country and tell you I have to podcast at a weird time.
Okay. All right. So you're going to go full Akiva.
I might go visit Akiva. I think they have the borders are closed over there right now or something. But if they let me in, I might pop up at Akiva's house.
Okay. All right. Well, Chappelle, I'm also very excited to be beginning another podcast adventure. I'm going to be back on the 90 Day Fiancé scene, talking about 90 Day Fiancé, before the 90 days with Mr. 90 Day Fiancé, Puya Zambakili.
Yes, and I am a Puya Zambakili fan. I am a Rob fan.
How could you not be?
And how could you not be? He's really one of the most famous people I've ever met. It's very hot. It's always hot for Puya. But yeah, I'm a fan of 90 Day Fiancé. In your absence, Puya asked me to come on and to watch the show.
Are you a convert? And, you're into it?
I'm into it. 90 Day the other day, it really had my full attention. The other way, it had my full attention.
I like the 90 Day the other day.
The other day, yeah. 90 Day the other way had my full attention. And the other day, I listened to Puya and Sasha talk about the reunion special.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that was a fire podcast. Like, I mean, they were both in their bags. I loved every second of it. Yeah. So if people have not checked out 90 Day the other day, or the other way, or 90 Day Fiancé, there's so many different versions of it. Oh, my gosh. But if you haven't checked that out, at least listen to Puya's coverage of 90 Day Fiancé on Rob Has a Podcast, because it is amazing.
All right. Thank you so much for checking out Nothing But Netflix. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of our coverage. robiswebsite.com/Netflix feed. Thank you so much. We'll be back next time with our holiday special on Nothing But Netflix. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.